off with our interviews on Racing HQ.
On Sky Sports Radio, heard throughout New South Wales
and via the TAB app wherever you travel,
it's time for Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
2 hours of required racing information.
Welcome back to Racing HQ. Great to have you with us on this Saturday morning as we're joined in the studio now, fresh off the plane, Ray Thomas. You haven't had time to take a breath. Good morning.
Good morning, Jason. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it's a bit of a rush trip to London, but glad to be back today. Bit of sunshine, beautiful morning outside for the Rose Hill meeting this afternoon. I heard you talking to Tony Brassel earlier, read the Canonbury and the Wynn, both significant lead-ups for the Golden Slipper, so looking forward to that. Both races, I think, have got potentially some Autumn Carnival contenders. And Expressway Stakes, small field, but a select field of sprinters. We know this race invariably throws good horses into the Autumn Carnival, and I guess primarily the return of Music Magnate up against some fit horses like Curo Bull and Muscle. It's an intriguing little contest.
Isn't it what? Absolutely. I must ask you before we get into our interviews, Ray, you had a good time over there in London. Winx couldn't quite get it done in terms of being the champion racehorse, but took a couple of smart ones in, I think it was Arrogate, the Breeders' Cup Classic winner in the second place, getting their California Chrome, came out on top of her.
Yeah, and those two American champions, of course, will clash in the Pegasus World Cup tomorrow morning, our time, I think, by memory, but that'll be terrific. Look, I've always thought, Jason, over the years that Australian racing and Australian horses were a little undervalued, but after attending the Longines World's Best Racehorse Awards over the weekend, I don't think that's the case anymore. Okay. Winx is held in really high esteem, and I was actually surprised by the level of interest in her and just how even the other journos around the world said, how good is this race mare? And I actually got a chance to talk to Bob Baffert, interviewed him after the awards, and he was taken aback by Winx. He watched some of the replays of her wins on the big screen during the ceremony, and he thought she was something else. So, look, I think that's a good thing for Australian racing. We're starting to resonate around the world, I think. Yeah. With our efforts at Royal Ascot over the last 10 years or so, and particularly the likes of Black Caviar, I think finally people realise our racing is as good as anywhere else in the world.
Indeed, well said, Ray. Hartnell finished in the top 10 as well.
He did, and the Cox Plate and the George Ryder Stakes both in the top 10. The Cox Plate equals second amongst the world's best races. The George Ryder came in seventh. No surprise, Winx won both, so she would have boosted those up. But Hartnell in the top 10, as you said, in Chautauqua for the second successive year. He is the top-rated sprinter in the world, and I think that's a fair recognition for a horse who's been so good at Group 1 level over the last 2 to 3 years. Won that race in Hong Kong, the Chairman's Sprint Prize, which capped it off, and Team Hawks say he's back as well as ever, heading for a third TJ Smith Stakes in the Championships.
It's been a pretty good run for Australian horses, hasn't it, Ronnie? Good morning to you, Ron Duffy.
Yeah, good morning, guys. It certainly has. Can't wait for Winx to get back, and I think she's in a trial again on Monday or Tuesday, maybe.
Tuesday.
Look, this meeting at Rosehill Gardens has held up pretty good. It's a backup after we've had a meeting on Australia Day on Thursday, which can always affect the Saturday meeting, but it hasn't. Oh, 2-year-olds are always interesting. I was starting to do the form early. I hope I'm not a little bit biased towards soft trackers because, you know, earlier in the week there was a storm forecast for every night, so I was just leaning towards looking at the softer track horses than more so than the hard track horses, but pretty confident all in all that it's going to be a winning day. Surprised you haven't got your Federer's shirt on there, Ray.
That was a bit of good news, Ronnie, when I landed that Roger had got through into the final.
Yeah.
So,
what a game.
I watched a little bit of Rafa last night before I just basically passed out.
I didn't make it to the end either.
Yeah, I know. But look, isn't it amazing? What are they calling them, boys? The retro finals. All four finalists are over 30 years old. The Williams sisters are back. And the Roger Rafa matchup is just something made out of heaven, Ronnie. Who are you going for, Ron?
I'm hoping for a good game. Two favourite players. There's hope for us old blokes.
I'll go with you, Ronnie. Yeah.
Start your tennis career, Ronnie. That's the way. All right. So let's move into some of the interviews now. And Bjorn Baker is joining us, of course, with the favourite in the Expressway Stakes. Good morning to you, Bjorn.
Morning.
Bjorn, just before Ron and Ray ask you about some of your chances today, including Music Magnate, he had a double yesterday. Was that a 1,000 gold ambitions? Congratulations on that. And also at Kembla Grange on Tuesday, saw a nice three-year-old there. I wanted to ask you about Impavido and what your opinion is of him.
Well, before the race, I think he's paying $35. So it's fair to say that, we hadn't judged him yet. That's why we were running him. But he was really impressive, and it's hard for a horse like that. He's bred to get over ground to get a good guide in the trials. Funnily enough, we liked him a lot early on. He's had one or two issues. He's taken a while to get to the races, but the way he won on Tuesday, it's hard not to like him. He got back and really rattled home. Mm.
Firstly, congratulations on finding a Class 1 set weight race for Gold Ambition at the Bush, and a 3,000-metre race for Zatapaz on the same day. You're a freak.
I'll take that as a compliment.
It was, very well placed.
And he just won.
It's funny, because I used to train Halbert, who Gold Ambition just bet. And he looked like he was home, and he got lonely in front, and then Gold Ambition got a little lonely in front after that, and he sort of wanted a mate, and they just about worried each other out of it.
Exactly right. It was an interesting race. Let's hope it's a little bit easier today with this horse, Music Magnate. He looks to be airborne at the trials.
He's going really well. I think he won Fresh Up last autumn and the Hallmark, and there was a little bit of a last-minute decision to go there. He came up quicker than what we thought he might, whereas this time he's had a jump out. He's had two trials, and I think he's probably got a better base to go into what looks a good race.
Forward enough to be hard to beat today, obviously.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's definitely forward, more forward than we've had him previously, and his coat's in good order. He looks great at the moment, so hopefully he can get to the races. It's a hot day, and handle everything, and he runs accordingly.
He's drawn well. He should just tag a horse like maybe Ball of Muscle.
Yeah, I think so. And I guess Kieran, he's sort of ridden him in both trials this time, and he's been very happy with him, but very much leave it to him. He is jumping really well at the moment, so I guess there's a chance he could lead as well, depending on how the race works out.
Race 7, a couple of chances here. You've got Sue Real, who did a good job at a first run for you for a Group 3 placing.
Yeah, it was good. Good result for the connections too. So I was lucky enough to get a ready-made horse over from NZ. So already that's probably the result done with her for later. But I think since then she's improved. She's come on. Her work was very good on Tuesday. The blinkers go on. James Doyle sticks with her. So drawn to get a nice run.
No speed in this race. Would you be worried if she led this field?
Yeah, I'll just leave it up to James, and it would probably look to be somewhat positive anyway. So that's what I was sort of looking at this morning, that she may well just about have to take it up.
You've also got Embley, who backs up from last week here.
Yeah, what you see is what you get with Embley. He's been a great money spinner for connections this time in, and it was a good effort last week. He was just a little bit held up, but he probably wouldn't have gone with the winner last week. So he'll probably get behind the leaders, and if he can find a decent-sized gap, he may take it.
Race 8, Sangiovese, back in distance should suit.
Yeah, I think so. I think she's more of an 1,100-metre horse. So once again, she's just drawn a little bit awkwardly for her. So she'll probably push forward and be in the first four or five.
And you finish with this horse, Your Way. She's a mare that, well, I don't think she's any star, but she's been another one well placed by you. She gets on pace favours again here.
Yeah, it's hard not to like her. She's won five of six, and she keeps just stepping up. I love horses that do that, regardless of the grade they're in. This is another step up to Saturday grade today, but she's drawn ideally in gate two. I think she'll be right there, whether she's outside lead or third or fourth, and she's game. She's tough as teak, and hard not to sort of go into a race with a horse with her profile and being sort of fairly confident. I think she's a good chance at the price.
Okay. Who places your horses? You get someone in the office that finds all these races for these horses?
No, it's, I generally do it all myself and Jack, and we sort of have a often discuss a little bit, but I like trying to put them where they're competitive anyway.
Yeah, got a couple in race three at Kembler, Under Oath and Vega. Any hope?
Yeah, I think they've both got each way chances. Under Oath stirred up, which probably gives them a well, possibly the edge over Vega. He'll be forward, whereas Vega will get back. We'll look to get cover from the wide gate. And he does have ability, Vega, but he's probably disappointed on more than one or two occasions. So, look, there's probably not a lot between them, but just in terms of the setup, I think Under Oath will be forward and prominent. Rail out 4 metres, won't be too far off.
Anything to add, boys?
Oh, just a quick one, if I could, Ronnie, to Bjorn. Look, the retirement during the week of winning Rupert. Bjorn, look, such an exciting horse. I guess it's a little bit of a shame he hasn't got a chance to realise that potential, Bjorn.
Sorry, Ray, I just lost you there for a moment.
Okay, yeah, just the retirement of winning Rupert during the week, mate. I guess I was saying earlier that he was such an exciting sprinter in the making and he hasn't got that opportunity to realise that potential, but that's the economics of the business, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is the economics, and really mixed emotions. And in one way, he's a horse that I thought would have definitely gone to the top. He's the fastest horse I've had anything to do with. And even the times he ran and how he was doing it up in Queensland, we never trained him to be like that. All his trials, he sat off and sort of sprinted home. So I thought he would have come back bigger and better. But on the flip side, he's gone to Newgate, which... a super progressive farm. He's going to get every chance to be a great stallion, and hopefully I'll be lucky enough to train a fair few of his youngsters.
Yeah, exactly, Ben. That might well be on the cards. Well, he flew the flag for you in the summer, I suppose. Maybe Music Magnate will fly the flag for you in the autumn. Many thanks for your time this morning. Good luck today and going forward.
Thanks, guys.
Ben Baker joining us on Racing HQ. We're about to chat to a man who hasn't been around these parts for some time now. Corey Brown is back in town. Corey, very good morning to you. Welcome home. How does it feel to be home? And what prompted the move back to Oz?
Good morning. And no, it is good to be home. I come home. I did actually get another 12-month extension on my licence over there, but we get a sort of a month's break in before Christmas. But once getting home and settling back into the normal family home and life, I decided to pull the pin on the 12-month contract and stay with the family and just get back into the Sydney racing.
Yeah, Corey, talking to you over the last couple of years, you always said you'd eventually return and make Sydney the home base again. Now you're back here. What's your plans at the moment in terms of riding track work? Are you basing yourself money at Rosehill or Ramwick at the moment?
I've been to Ramwick and Rosehill. I done trials at Ramwick yesterday. I ended up with about 11 trials, which I was fairly jelly-legged by the end of it. I've just been going down to Rosehill to Chris Waller and obviously going to start with Gerald Ryan and duck over to Ramwick for a couple of days a week and hopefully get me toe in the door at the Snowden camp and the likes of Michael Friedman and everyone else over there at Ramwick. If I can get my toe in the door, not so even my foot, but just if I can get a toe in there and get a little bit of a go, I'll work hard and see what happens.
Hey, Ronnie, just looking at Corey's five rides today, I think it's significant that five of the major players, John O'Shea, Chris Lees, Gerald Ryan, Team Snowden and Team Hawks, they put Corey straight back on, Ronnie.
Not a bad... you wouldn't have thought that happened on your first day back with the support from those stables, Corey.
I was just hoping to get rides, Ronnie. It didn't really matter who it was from, but look, it's been great, the support that I've had, like the phone calls and that I've had asking me to ride work and come back and ride for them. So hopefully it won't take me too long to get back where I was before I left off.
How long have you been away?
It was a planned move to winter about 4 years ago to go to Singapore for 4 weeks and on to France for 4 weeks. And I ended up going over and spending nearly 4 years in Singapore. It was just over 3.5 years. So
wow,
not a bad effort.
Yeah. You had a hit out at the trials. I am the Lady and Sprite you rode in those trials. They're two nice mares.
Very happy. Very happy. It was nice, Ronnie, just to get on sort of good horses. I'm not saying that there's not good horses over in Singapore, but majority of them are provincial or even country sort of horses. So to get back even to the trials at Ramwick and to float around on a few really, really nice horses, it was good. Joey's horse, she tried really, really well. Joey wanted to have a good trial. She was well above herself and She screamed down the outside and won the trial as she liked. And Sprite for Gary Fraser, she I thought she tried exceptionally well. She's a back marker, but she was up on speed in the trial. We went fairly slow the first couple of hundred, but she really sprinted home well, so expecting nice things from her.
Your first day, you've had a bit of a break. Your first day back, 53 kilos. Wow, you've really stabilised your weight.
Yeah, well, I was riding 51 over there.
Oh, were you? Okay.
And a half, yeah, every weekend. So my weight sort of come good, and it's so hot and humid, I was always out running, and I wouldn't even say looking after it, but just sort of keeping fit. But because it's so hot and humid, you find yourself losing weight quite easily over there, riding lots of work. And but yeah, since being back, I've got a little bit tubby, a little bit bigger around the girth, a bit soft, but I've got about a kilo to lose this morning, kilo and a half, but yeah, it shouldn't be too hard.
Might be the right time to step back into Sydney because of this new 53 minimum, because our blokes have got a little bit soft and not worried about the 53 for a while.
Well, yeah, yes. Well, for me, I mean, 53 was never a problem. I'll be honest, before I left, they raised the weights to 54, see. And I wasn't struggling to ride 54, but you can fall into that sort of the rut and just always sort of just getting there to ride the weight. But since being over in Singapore, I've lightened off a lot. And, yeah, hopefully it's to my advantage. I know a lot of boys out there that can't ride the weight, so hopefully it'll fall into my favour.
Look, I won't insult you asking you too much about these horses at your first day back. You wouldn't know a lot about them, but Malahat is a nice start back.
Yeah, well, look, I watched, obviously, all the replays and trials of the horses. Malahat, I thought his run at Canterbury wasn't too bad, his first go. He's trialled since, and it looks to have improved on on his first race start. He looks like he's matured a little bit and come back a bit better. So he's drawn a good gate. Look, the top weight's obviously the horse to be, but yeah, I don't know much about him, Ronnie, but just watching his trial, I think that he definitely improved.
Any push from Chris for Let's Get Naughty Girl? A bit of a long shot, but he wouldn't bring him to town unless they're going to be competitive.
He expects it to run well. He did say, look, it's jumping up in class. The winner of the race back in Scone, he said he's got nice ability, so he said he's probably going to be looking for a bit further later on, but he expects it to run well.
Dances on Stars, well graded, but a big weight.
Yeah, look, we'd probably have to improve on its last run or last couple of runs, Ronnie, but I spoke to Gerald this morning, and he's a little bit the same. He thought the weight's probably going to sort of drag him down a little bit, but he expects him to run an okay race.
Royal Navy for Team Snowden, the last start winner at least.
I thought it was my best ride, to be honest. I thought his win down at Kembla, although lesser grade, I thought his win was quite nice. He was sort of trapped three wide, and then at about 700 he got shunned out to be four wide and had to come back and fall in behind him again. But the audacity of him, he sort of picked him up and he was really running away with it the last 50 to 100. So again, he's got no weight on his back. He's drawn fairly soft, and if he gets the right run, he should be cheeky.
And you finish up for your old mate Hawksy, who's kept you on your toes throughout your career with Zara Bay.
They've always been good to me, the Hawks team. But yeah, it's actually a bit strange, this preparation. I went back and tried to find a trial, but I couldn't find a trial for the horse, and it's unusual for the Hawks team not to give him a trial first up.
I've had a jump out for her from Melbourne.
Okay, well, I couldn't find it, but so she has had a little bit of a trial. But look, obviously looks a nice enough horse. I remember her mother very well. She's a winner three starts back, so would definitely improve on the run, but should be cheeky.
Good on you, mate. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Yeah, best of luck, Corey. Thanks for joining us this morning, and we might even see you back on Off the Rails before too long. It hasn't been the same without you.
We've got you for one-on-one Tuesday night, Corey, don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can't wait.
You're going to be busy.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, good on you, Corey. Hey, Ronnie, just the return of Corey Brown. We've got a deep pool of talent, riding talent in Sydney racing, but Corey, being the talent he is and the champion jockey that he is, it won't take long to be right back in it, Ronnie.
Oh, yeah, look, any competition's good competition, and it just puts that extra bit of class at the bottom of the weights with jockeys. You know, I think we need that now that we're getting their biggest spread of weights, you know, and Corey now, and I think, you know, probably Brenton's losing a little bit of weight and a kilo just to ride that minimum to take up the good options. It gives, you know, Jay Ford another lease on life. He's a good jockey, Jay, and he's just you know, used to pick up all those lightweight rides and show how good he is, but when we lost the lightweights, he sort of went missing for a while. So I think Corey is going to be, he's an experienced, world-class rider. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely.
It just adds to the competition in Sydney racing, doesn't it? And probably promotes even better quality.
Great for punters, great for Sydney racing.
For sure.
Yeah, 100%. All right, about to be joined now by Tim Clark, who's got a good book today, including, I think, six rides. Good morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, guys.
Nice rides today. We'll ask you with Ron and Ray in just a moment about a few of them, but thought we might kick off with the Canterbury ride on Hulalai. We saw him on Boxing Day, the Gay and Adrian trained colt. But he looked pretty sharp in that recent trial.
Yeah, obviously he'd trialled up really well prior to his debut run. Things seemed quite great at plan that day, but he's just seemed to have come through the run all right and bounced back. And as you said, he went back to the trials recently and trialled quite well. And obviously only a small field, but a couple of smart colts there. And I'm sure he'll acquit himself well.
You got Mystic Empire for Gay as well in race two, Tim. She should put herself on a speed here from the good draw.
Yeah, that's right. She's obviously had the benefit of having a run back a few months ago, and she's come back. She seems to have trialled up pretty well. She's from that draw, she's going to get a perfect run and give herself every chance. A few of the unrace ones have trialled quite well, so it looks a pretty competitive race.
Race five, the Pharaoh, you wouldn't know a lot about him other than he's an improving last start winner.
Yeah, that's right. He comes to Saturday grade off a good win. Doesn't have to carry too much weight, and looks like myself and probably Australiana might be able to control the race from sort of up towards the front, and that should allow him to run really well. I think he's got a good chance.
Ball of muscle in the feature event. Look, he hasn't won in a while, but he's at his peak now, and Joe seems pretty bullish about this horse.
Yeah, that's right. He's third up, so he's going to be, fitness-wise, he's going to be right on the mark. He's got a few little gear changes. As you said, he's obviously put a great record together early in his career and hasn't been able to win for a while now, but hopefully with a few little gear changes, a few runs under his belt. Obviously, Music Bag Nate's tried really well, but hopefully fitness on our side, that can come into play late in the race and... hopefully you can stick his head out again.
Scarlet Rain's probably one of the most interesting runners on the day. Have you been on her?
I've been on a little bit, but probably sort of haven't ridden her for a while. But did get the opportunity to put her through a paces about 10 days ago, after that Kembla trial, and she worked great. So I was right with how she worked. Obviously she'd. She's had a long time off the scene. She's had a tie-back operation. So it's all probably a bit of wait and see how she goes. And, they can hopefully that operation was successful. So, she's showing all the signs at home that she's going really well. She's had three trials, so she should be nice and fit. And, if she's anywhere near right, she's going to be pretty hard to beat this race. She'll be bounced and put herself right on speed, and she'll give a good sight for a long way.
You finish with Your Way. You won on her last start. Not a bad effort winning 5 from 6, no matter where it is.
Yeah, she's been extremely well placed, but she's also got a tremendous will to win. And she was game there the other day, and she's said she's building up a great record, and I can't see why she... She can't run well again. Obviously, stepping to Saturday grade for the first time. Some nice mares. Bizarre, obviously, a Group 1 place getter her last start, last prep. So, it is a step up for her, but she definitely deserves a chance at this sort of race. And as I said, she hasn't put her foot wrong pretty much to date, so I can't see why she'll... She went on well again today.
Yeah, my favourite mare trial yesterday, Dixie Blossoms. How's she feel?
She trialled great. I thought she felt great. So, I was extremely pleased with what she did. I was very excited after it. So, she'll kick off in a couple of weeks, and no, definitely looking forward to her. And yeah, no, it was a good morning out there, a few of the autumn stars, and getting a little bit excited for the upcoming carnival.
Hey Tim, just a quick one. I was watching the replays of the Hawkesbury races midweek. I know it was only a 5-horse maiden, but the winner of the Lonro Filly, Gloriette, she put an absolute margin over 7 lengths on arrivals, ran that really good sectional time coming home. Stakes place as the juvenile, and I know she's got to step up from a Hawkesbury maiden, but that was some win, Tim.
Yeah, she obviously took good improvement from her first run when I rode her at Canterbury, and look, she appreciated probably just getting a toe into the ground a little bit there, and as I said, that fitness from her first that run, she'd improved a lot. And look, she'd obviously shown them the team at Godolphin a lot, because they threw her in some tough races early on, so she's obviously shown that kind of ability, and now she's she's starting to put it together, and with a win under her belt now, hopefully she can go on with it. But yeah, she was obviously most impressive and won in good fashion.
All right, Tim, many thanks for your time this morning, and yeah, good book today. Good luck.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Good on you, Tim. Tim Clark with those good riders today. Yeah, we did see some good trials out there yesterday, didn't we? Of course, we saw Hartnell go around. Sprite, I Am the Lady trial. Well,
yeah, I like Sprite. I think she's a really nice filly. And over the spring carnival, Ronnie, didn't she step up? That win up the straight at Flemington on Oaks Day, by memory, was absolutely outstanding by Sprite.
Yeah, it certainly was. You know, like she was a little bit immature early on. She showed improvement at her next prep, and I'm expecting even with now that she's had a trip away, some of these fillies, or even colts and girlies, once they had that trip away over in the spring, it can really be the making of them in the autumn. So. But it's going to be hard at the top. We've got some lovely, lovely three-year-old fillies around. So, you know, everything's got to go right for these horses. There's some beauties, and yesterday's trials were great. And we had another good set on Tuesday. So we're not far away, boys, from some really, really top racing.
And we saw some last night, Malaguia in the Australia Stakes. Look, he's just a top-class sprinter, isn't he? I thought Blackheart Bart, probably at that level, Ronnie, the 1,200 metres, he's probably... They're too sharp from the likes of Malaguira, but his run was excellent. But both those horses are going to play significant roles going into the Melbourne and then Sydney Autumns.
He's just a good horse, Malaguira.
Strike rate, Ron.
He's bulletproof, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't early on. That was the thing. He used to sweat up, and he used to be a bit of a rat bag. And I watched him last night, and I think, wow, look out. This is one more, much more mature, switched-on horse. He didn't sweat up. But I remember they had trouble saddling him up when Lee had him, and he was just a real hothead, a bit of a pig. But he's another horse. He had a trip away to Perth over the summer. It may have just calmed him down.
Good point. Yeah.
And he's going to be a real carnival contender. He's a TJ Smith horse for sure.
What did you make of the run of Blackheart Bart, Ronnie? I thought, you know, he was into him before the turn, but he rallied again in the straight.
Oh, I think Ray hit the nail on the head. You know, look, he's a 1,400 mile sort of a horse. Yeah. 1,400s. He's not that sharp Moonee Valley sprinter. I thought he achieved pretty well there. A double tick for him. Chetwood was the interesting runner in the race. There was a, you know, big wraps around him, you know, being tuned up for the race. I thought he'd win. I thought he'd just pop outside survival there and just race away. But it was a funny run. He went for home early. Lucky was gawking around a bit. I wouldn't sack him on that performance, put it that way.
Agree. He's too promising a horse, isn't he, Ronnie?
Yes.
He showed that during the spring carnival.
No.
A couple of those wins were excellent. And if he can get out in front and do his stuff, he just highballs along. He gets horses off the bit chasing. Yeah. He's pretty good, Chetwood.
Yeah, he is. So, look, I don't know whether to charge in and back him next time, but don't just put the pens through him at the same time.
And just briefly, while we're touching on trials, did either of you see any of the Newcastle trials on the new track the other day?
I haven't yet, no.
Big reports about the Newcastle track. We've said all this before, so you've got to get through a few meetings on these new tracks and then assess them. But the reports from Chris and a few of the jock up there who clocks them and a few of the... it's all positive vibes about this surface at Newcastle. So fingers crossed for them.
Yep, 100%. I'm sure it'll come up well. All right, we're going to take a short break on Racing HQ. Good to have you with us, whether you're listening or viewing around the country. Back soon.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer affordable racehorse ownership. Here's Gay.
Dynamic Syndications are my primary syndicators and I love training for their owners. They buy top quality, sound, athletic and beautiful pedigreed horses. I will be training for them at my Randwick and Flemington stables.
We invite you to join our Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Advantage receiver.
This Australian Open, the advantage is yours. Here at TAB, we're serving up more value, more markets, and more tennis bet types than ever before, including our new tennis multi. A single tap on the app will give you a preloaded multi with some of the day's best tennis bets. Check out all the latest markets now on our app at tab.com.au or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
The annual Big Sports Breakfast Lunch is the hottest ticket on the sporting calendar. Join TK, Slats and the Big Sports Breakfast crew for 2017's big event. It will be a fabulous afternoon with a host of your sporting favourites, including Craig Lowndes and Steve Roach. Friday the 24th of February in the Big Top at Sydney's Luna Park. Tickets at $155 per person. They include a two-course lunch and drinks. Why not get a group of your workmates or your friends together? Book a table. Don't miss out. To call 90 33 75 34.
Unmissable racing information is on Sky Sports Radio's Racing HQ Saturday.
Welcome back to Racing HQ with Ray Thomas and Ron Duffacy as we talk about this Expressway Stakes card today with those two excellent two-year-old races, the Canterbury and the Widden, to kick things off. A good program. But some handy other races on the card today too, Ray.
Actually, a fair bit of depth this program, yeah. Ronnie. When I was going through it, the form, and there's a couple of short price favourites, and like Music Magnate, etc. But it's not cut and dried for Music Magnate today because he's taking on, as I said, a couple of fit horses like Kuro and Ball of Muscle who make a race of it. And in the other races, Ronnie, there's plenty of depth to this program, the 2-2-year-old races in particular. Gee, I'm looking forward to them, Ron.
I am too. I always love the 2-year-olds at this time of year. You get the fillies is an intriguing race. Mm. I don't think there's any standout there, but there looks to be some horses trialling well and horses that could be real improvers when they sort of get to that 1,200, 1,400 metre mark. And I can't wait to see Minari strutty stuff again. I thought he was very impressive at Randwick. But Showtime's a horse I had a huge opinion of early on. I see he's got the blinkers on today. Malahat is a horse that'll run on there. A Pariah's trial well. And Hula Lilai. Its trial form is just amazing. Mm. He's a very hard horse to approach in the first. So, and later on in the day, we've got even fields and we've got class horses resuming as their fitness levels is going to be very, very important as far as their chances are concerned. So I'm looking forward to getting out to Rose Hill. Hopefully it's not too hot for these horses to melt out there, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, that's right. Not quite as hot as it was a couple of weeks ago, is it?
But, no.
That's right. Speaking of Minari, Ronnie, we've got Gerald Ryan online now. Gerald, a very good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, boys.
Josh Parr back on board today. He'll be pretty happy about that. I think he was very impressed with this colt when he rode him in a trial.
Yeah, he was. Just done a bit of work on him, and he rode him in the trial, but it was Magic Means Day, so it's up in Magic Means, and James had sort of ridden the horse a lot of work, and he knew the horse, so I left James on him, yeah.
Look, today with Minari, Gerald, I think you'll know where you are, because this is it's only six runners, but there's some really nice horses here.
Yeah, it looks that, Ron. Hawks' horses always have good ability and they've had a raps on it. And I've just listened to you before what you were saying, you know, it's probably right. There's not a pundit, but $1.80 in this field looks a bit scary for me. Yeah.
Is that a habit of his, missing the start, or was that a one-off the other day?
No, it was probably a one-off. He hadn't done it in the trials, even though he wasn't Brinkley quick out. But he hadn't done it in the trials, so don't know what that was all about. Probably strange new. And he's drawn barrier one today, so just as long as he don't start looking at the starter or something. But he's always begun all right prior to that,
Probably just takes a sit third the rail, similar position today, or just leave it to Josh?
Yeah, probably just let Josh and pan out the way it come. But you can imagine a couple of those others, Hawks' horse, Blinkers first time, will probably run along a little bit. And Gay's horse hasn't got the blinkers on there from its first up run, but it just shows good speed in trials. So, he probably will take a sit, and he races a bit that way. So, probably will take a sit on him, as long as 1,100 metres is not too short for him.
The state of play race two, a Fastnet Rock filly. What do you make of her?
Staying type filly. Tuesday's Joy's family. Big, tall filly. Needs to body up a bit more. We'll probably only have this run and go out. But she's trialled well and jumped out well and worked good going into it. She'll be back off the speed. She'll be giving them a start. But I think she'll be very strong at the end.
Race three, a couple of runners here. Dances on Stars. He's capable on his day. Just the handicap has got him at the moment.
That's where he's hard to place, This today could be his last run here because, he's just hard to place. He hasn't won for a long time. He looks very, very well, but his race form is a bit average this time round. So, today will probably be his last start here and, on his best form, he'd win it. But I don't think he'd ever won a race if that way, not anyway, on his back like that, but... No, saying that he's fitting well and looks great and got more dapples on his cape than he's ever had before and he's very well in himself,
Pipeline in this race is an interesting horse. He maps well behind a horse like Dylan's Rojo. He's a 3-year-old with no weight. What's your feelings on him?
I think he ran very well. Watched the tape, he had no joy at the Gold Coast at all, I do believe. Watching the tape again yesterday, he should have ran the first four in that race. Didn't get a clear crack at him anywhere, and he's done well since he's come home. He's going to the Spring Stakes. He had to have another run somewhere beforehand for the Spring Stakes in a fortnight. So he let the take on this 3-year-old, no weight on his back, and 1,500 metres should suit him. And like you say, he should get a good run in the race.
Race five, the Pharaoh, were up in class, but heading in the right direction.
Nice horse. When he first started off, I thought he was going to be a mad runner, but as he got into his prep, he looks like he was going to run 1,400 metres easy. Be just behind the speed, going well, and in a race like this, where you're going to give a guide on where you sit with him going forward.
Race seven, Alada, set of visors on today. Could he improve?
Ask him. He's in me. He misses the start and he runs a really good one day and awful the next, and just depends which one turns up. He's got the ability to run well. There's a good win in probably weaker company at Warwick Farm, and then he done nothing there in a slow run race the other day. So I never know what to expect from that horse when he goes to the races.
The last I thought Maraquita had a blowout chance here. I thought she was strong late after giving start last time.
Yeah, she beats herself by her racing pattern. Got no gate speed, even though she's by on Invincible. She's got no gate speed. She gets back. She makes it hard for herself all the time. Looks well. Done well since her run 10 days ago. But when they go quick enough up front, she'll finish off good.
Also got Foxy Housewife there, who's she's kept improving this prep.
Yeah, she'll appreciate back on top of the ground. She's not 100% in the wet ground. Her win the other day against fillies was good. Journey should suit her. She'll put herself somewhere up near the speed in what looks to be plenty of speed in the race. So, but she's honest and run well, and she'll help herself with the way she races.
Beauty. Anything to add, boys?
Yes, Gerald, chauffeur, after that blinding effort in the Magic Millions, that terrific second, what's your plans with him? Is he back in work now?
Yeah, he came back yesterday. He went to Strawberry Hill for 11 days and come back yesterday. He looks really well, and he put on 25 kilos in 11 days, so he looks really well, and he's back in, had a little light chop this morning, and he's riding well and good in himself, and at this stage he'll probably head towards the Todman and he'll have one run before the super if he goes there. And that'll be in the Todman. If he doesn't run well in the Todman, well, there's no sense in running him in the flipper.
And obviously Minari, a lot hinges on what he does today, but your thoughts about him going forward as well, Gerald?
Yeah, well, if he come out and won good today, well, you know, because he's been in a while and that, you might give him a bit of a freshen up and don't run until the skyline. But we'll just see how he goes today, get over it. Every week there's a new horse slipper chance jumps up into it, so we'll just see where he heads after today, you know.
Terrific. It was that way with the Magic Millions for a while, wasn't it?
It is, yeah. That's that time of year, isn't it?
Yeah.
And but I tell you what, Ronnie, if a lot of trainers like to be in Gerald Ryan's shoes with these two lovely colts, Minari and Schaefer, going into the autumn.
Ah, for sure. You know, they're two beauties. Can't wait. Can't wait to see what Minari does today. Schaefer's already laid a few cards on the table. Let's bring it on. It's that time of year, as we said.
Thanks, Gerald.
Okay, no worries. Cool.
Thanks, Gerald.
Gerald Ryan there, and well, with tab.com.au, he's got two of the top five of the market, isn't he? In Schaefer, $11, sitting on the third line of betting, in the slipper, and Minari, if you want to back it in the slipper today, I think you can come out and bolt in this afternoon, $15 available with tab.com.au.
Extraordinary, isn't it, Ronnie, that Khan and Jorda were so good on their debuts way back on Epsom Day. We haven't seen either of them since. They're almost the forgotten two-year-olds at the moment, aren't they, Khan and Jorda?
Yeah, Khan trialled yesterday and he looked good. And Jorda was scratched out of the trial. Oh, maybe he's going to wait another week with her, John. But can't wait to see Jorda. She walked in the yard that day. Everyone had already put their money on her from the trials, and she walked in. It was like a little donkey walking. But she's. It'll be interesting to see how she's developed.
And Khan, just that finishing speed he showed in the Breeders' Plate. Gee, I thought he looked a really nice type and an ideal type to sort of absorb the golden slipper type pressure and finish off.
So I think Melbourne horses are very. The Melbourne 2 year olds are very strong this year, and a lot stronger than what they've been in. In the last couple, I think they got a few really nice two-year-olds in numbers there, where I've always thought, yeah, these Sydney horses have just got a lap on the two-year-olds in Melbourne. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what unfolds after the Blue Diamond, who survives that and then comes to Sydney, because obviously Catchy's pretty good. The Melbourne filly. So, it's really, really interesting for the, obviously, leading into the slipper now.
Yeah, intriguing stuff still ahead of us. So we'll chat to Michael Freeman in just a moment, but I'll run you through the scratchings for Rose Hill, the interims at this stage. Races 1 and 2 both clear, the two-year-old races. The third race, number 5, Choice, we had. Race 3, number 5. Fourth race, 12, Kind of Tangy. Race 4, number 12. Race 5, 3, Pipeline, 4, Henry the Creative. 3 and 4 out of the 5th. 6th is clear. 7th, 2, Gold Ambition, who ran yesterday. 9, Harper's Choice. 2 and 9 out of the 7th. Race 8, 6 Hour Renaissance and 10 Qtronic, 6 and 10. Race 9, number 11, Awoke is out. Race 9, number 11. Michael Friedman's got a nice filly going around in the wind. Good morning to you, Michael.
Morning, how are you?
Very well, thanks. I'll get Ronnie and Ray to ask you a little bit more about this filly in a moment, but I really like the way she accelerated in that trial before being eased down on the line.
Yeah, I was happy with the trial on Monday, and she, you know, probably just as importantly, she seems to have come through it really well. She's had a fairly easy week since then, and was nice and bright this morning, so looking forward to seeing what she can do today.
She's had a 3-month break, Michael. How has she, like, she had the one run obviously at Canterbury there, how's she matured in that 3 months?
Yeah, Duff, she's done well. She looks in really good nicks, but she's never been and probably never will be a big sort of robust type of filly. She's only a petite sort of type, and you know, for that matter, she probably will, you know, always be a little bit light framed. But she did really well. She's had a nice, you know, steady build up since she came back into the yard, and I think she should strip pretty well today.
Okay, you're going to have to use a bit of that speed from that awkward draw, or just leave it to Huey?
Yeah, look, I think we'll just leave it to Hugh. I mean, obviously, it's not ideal where we've drawn. But you know, you've got one of the best, if not the best, in the business on top, so I think we'll just be leaving it to Huey to work out, you know, where he can find the best spot on her, and you know, and make a plan from there. I mean, she did lead at Canterbury her first start, but I don't think she's a one-dimensional filly where she has to lead.
Mm. Your team's building. Did you get through the Magic Millions with a few in the stable?
Yeah. It was. Look, I've been really overwhelmed with the support that's been given to me with only a team of two-year-olds, as you would well know, it takes a bit of time to build that team up. But I've been given some great support, and you know, we're just starting to get things rolling along, and you know, hopefully start to trot a few more two-year-olds out over the next several weeks.
You're taking a few to Kembla today. Henry's going there. Henry the Creator, and I think you've got two other runners. Anything we should take note of?
Well, I thought, you know, Henry was obviously in at Rose Hill today, but he's been off the scene quite a while, and you know, his first up run was satisfactory. But I thought I'd take the softer option with him at Kembla today because I just wanted to sort of get a guide on where he's really at. I'm, you know, very happy with him, but I'd just like to see him sort of regain a bit of that form before we start aiming too much higher. So I thought he should be a good chance in that race down there today, and I thought the two-year-old Easerman was in a nice race from an inside draw.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah, Michael, the two-year-old team have been fantastic for you in your first full season in Sydney racing, and a couple of nice horses that you've raced at Canterbury recently, Yulong Xingxing in particular, I thought did a really good job on debut, and Frolic keeps stepping up.
Yeah, both nice fillies, both come through the classic sale, so they're both being aimed towards that the English Classic in a couple of weeks' time. So Frolic will basically just head straight there now. I was wrapped with her run, you know, last Friday night. Mm. I thought she showed a nice turn of foot, probably ran into a fairly handy one, I think.
Marsupial, yeah, it's pretty smart. So yeah, it was good, wasn't it, Michael?
It was. You know, she sort of got back in probably a race that wasn't run at a breakneck speed, and probably just, you know, stood them up a bit too far. But I was wrapped with her run, and she's come through the race well. And Yulong Xingxing, I was really pleased with her effort. She probably didn't let down as well in that race as I think she can, being on the soft track. I think on a sort of slightly firmer track, she has a better turn of foot. So she's ticking over. She'll probably go to Rose Hill for a trial next Tuesday. And she'll head straight towards that classic as well in 2 weeks' time.
Terrific.
All right, Teaspoon, the key runner there for Michael Friedman. Thanks very much, Michael. Good luck.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Michael Friedman in the Widden with Teaspoon, of course. Beat home Milanese Girl for Chris Waller, who really attacked the line that day. But
she showed good natural race sense around Canterbury, and that's the key in these early two-year-old races, isn't it, Ronnie? These fillies and colts who've got good natural race sense, they get away with a lot of wins early in their career.
Well, early education's you know, is gold with young two-year-olds, that's for sure. And then you've got to see them come back, you know, from that spring to the autumn. And some of them make that quantum leap.
Others catch up, don't they?
Others catch up. Some go backwards.
Yeah, that's right. Don't make it at all. Mm. Exactly. All right, we're about to have a chat to Todd Howell. He had a winner at Port Macquarie the other day and has brought one down for the Tab Highway race today. Good morning to you, Todd.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Todd, Dalmatia Prince today. I thought he had a rough open, the double figure odds. He was a nice first up run.
Yeah, I was happy with his first up run. He's a pretty nice horse. So hopefully he will be.
A month and a trial since that run. Is that by design or did he have a little setback?
Had a little setback. We were going to go into that 1400 a couple of weeks ago. And just when he was on the Tuesday, he galloped, just sort of jumped across the crossing and hit his front leg and just put a little nick on it. I was probably a bit overcautious, but didn't want to send him on that Saturday.
Mm. Tactically here today, we're up in distance a little. Where would you like to see him in the run?
Oh, I don't really want to push forward from that barrier. I'd just like to see if he could just get in where he can sort of thing and have him hit the line.
Okay, I was sort of giving him a bit of a tick because I thought we were going to get a soft track, but do you think he's still okay on a dry surface?
Yeah, I do. His wet form was good. That's all was around at the time, but I thought last one was good.
Okay, and no issue jumping up sharply in distance today?
I don't think so. I think he's a horse that will get out over further, like 2,000 metres.
Okay. Good luck with him today, Todd.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much, Todd. Todd Howlett, very good trainer. He's brought one down for the Tab Highways, and again, another strong field of Tab Highway.
Typical Tab Highway, isn't it, boys? Plenty of depth, a lot of chances, different form lines. Just they're really good betting mediums, aren't they, Ronnie? Because there's value there, but I think punters have sort of worked out that if Matthew Dunn got runners in these races, don't let them get under your guard.
No, and the market's reacted to that now. You know, obviously, if you see one of their horses, they're hard in the market and, you know, they're well-placed. And obviously, Madame Deban's favourite again here today. So I thought as they get up to this distance, they, they're not as strong. But today, I must say, it's a lot stronger than what we have had at this distance as far
that's
as
point, yeah.
chances in numbers. You've got an interesting horse in Ruthless Agent, who's the beware of the unbeaten horse, as they say. He looks to be going to the line well, winning his races, and they've found Blake for him as well. So it's a good little race.
And Ronnie, the country championships, not that far away. I think it's Grafton, February 12, by memory, is the first of the country championship heats.
Yeah.
And is that right?
I've got them all written down
that's
here,
it, yeah.
right? We've got Grafton on Feb 12, that's the Northern Rivers region. And then the 18th of Feb on the Saturday, we go to Goulburn. That'll be a very strong one, it traditionally is.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday the 19th, we're off to Dubbo for the Western edition. So a very nice one go around yesterday from Peter Nestor's yard. It'll be hard to beat in that. Sunday, the 26th, it's Taree. The 5th of March, we head to Scone for a very strong edition of the country championships. The 12th of March on a Sunday, it's Wellington. 19th of March, Albury. 26th of March, Musselbrook.
That's the wild card, yeah.
And then, of course, at Randwick on the 1st of April.
Yeah, first and second, all those heats qualify for the finals. They've been a massive shot in the arm for country racing, Ron.
Oh, for sure. You know, I'm really looking forward to these heats and trying to line them all up as we do each year. So we'll start off, would you say, Grafton at February 12th?
That's it. Yeah, not far away now.
Yeah. So, and obviously, I heard Matty Dunn was going to have, would probably have eight runners in his heat. But the
why not, Ronnie? The money's so good.
It's worth chasing for sure.
Yeah, well, we saw the showcase meeting yesterday at Bathurst and $30,000 minimum prize money in the country. It's remarkable,
isn't
it? Mm. Yeah, terrific. Chris Waller's online now. Good morning to you, Chris.
Hey.
Hello, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, nice to have you with us, Chris. Good team in today. Ronnie and Ray are here, and they'll ask you more about your team today. But I want to start off with Milanese Girl in the Widden. I think you trained the Dam, didn't you, Shawnee Girl?
Yes. She won from a range of distances. wasn't the most trustworthy, but nonetheless, I think she was even placed in one of the lead-ups to the slipper. So, bit of pedigree there, and this filly looks like she goes quite well too, and certainly improved with the blinkers on.
Okay, so it's not usually a go resuming in blinkers, but you're happy with the way she's progressed with those?
Yeah, she only trialled fair, and we went back and watched a replay of her debut run, and it was a bit similar. She came around the bend awkwardly at Canterbury and didn't really flatten out, and that was the same as what we saw in the trial. So we put the blinkers on, and they have helped sharpen her up in her track work.
Race 3, Chris, Invincible, much better on a dry surface, second up.
Yeah, very much so. Two starts ago, that was the problem. Wet track didn't handle it at all. Last start was fair. Probably a slightly weaker race today from what I can see. And no excuses, third up. He should be very hard to beat.
Cawthon's Power, a little too close last week.
Yeah, Blake did the right thing by trying something, but it's just not the type of horse to do that. He likes a well-timed run. He likes a bit of room. So as soon as he was sort of cutted up, turning for home when they got to him, he put the flag up. So ride him a bit differently today, get some cover, and then get him out in the centre of the track and let him finish off.
Race 5, Awoke. What are you expecting from her first up today?
She's been working okay. I don't think this will be a problem. And she's got a light weight. She's got really good form around horses like Fox Play, and a few things went against her when she just did it all really in one prep last time then. So I think she can improve. On the training track, she hasn't shown us amazing work, but nonetheless, trialled okay, and I'm just hoping that she brings her race form from the spring to today's race with the lightweight be hard to beat.
Three runners in race 7. You've got Vassal, who's a month in a trial since that last run.
Yeah, it goes good for Jason Collins. He likes a good track. And, we've simply waited for this race. There's been nothing else suitable, so he's certainly done plenty of work and ready to run well.
Collett may get on with Vassal, but I'd say Avdullah seemed to get on okay with Montauk after last
week. Yeah.
He's not an easy horse to ride.
Yeah, he got the best out of him for sure, and he'd be the last horse you'd say, geez, it looks our best chance today. But on that win last week and the field he's up against today, he's got a very good chance again. So he's drawn to get a similar run. I think he likes a bit of give in the track, which we should have today. And, yeah, he's found that winning form.
Regal Monarch needs to improve, but up to 2,000 second up.
Yeah, I'd say 2,400 will put him a lot better, which is where he's heading in 2 weeks' time. But it'd be nice to see him finishing off a bit better today.
And a drier track and back in distance for the rumour file.
Yeah. Look, he won early on in the prep and hasn't really shown the same form. I think 1,800 last start was a bit... No, no, it was 2,400 last start. Might have just been a bit far for him. So back to the 2,000 today. But he needs to improve.
Yeah, I thought you were very strong with a couple of first uppers in the last, if ready. Suzanne, she's... Look, I know she's a three-year-old filly of 60 kilos, but still, she's quality.
Yeah, she is. She had a rating of... in Victoria, hence the reason why we put her in this race and then saw that they've changed her weight to 60, well, to 80, so she's got 60 kilos. So
what they do?
We denied whether to run her, especially first up 1,400, but the trials have been good. And she's a pretty handy filly, and she's got a soft draw. We'll ride her conservatively, get her balanced up and see how she finishes off. And her form was terrific in the spring. Again, pretty tapped filly, and hopefully can improve a little bit further in the autumn. So, very, very talented horse.
Shandana's got her own talent as well. She's a middle distance mare. She should be running on.
Yeah, we thought this time last year she would be an Oaks type of filly, and she didn't really get up to those expectations. And we worked out the end of last prep that she had some chips in a fetlock, so they were removed, and I'm hoping that'll see an improvement. She trialled well, and as I said, we've got had a pretty high opinion of her this time last year, so let's hope she can get back to that form, because she's a talented horse. But has been off the scene for a while, so that's when they tend to need that first up run, especially over this type of distance.
Mm. One runner at Flemington, race 9, Hipparchus, looked unlucky last start.
Yeah, very unlucky. So he's drawn well. The bigger track should suit. He'd freshened up nicely for last week's run, so backing him up within 7 days is probably taking that freshness edge away that he had last week. But, yeah, it was frustrating not to see him win, and hopefully he can get a reward today.
Couple of your bigger names trialled yesterday. Omay Sword, Fox Play coming through. All pull up okay this morning.
Yeah, they're ticking along nicely and ready to race in the next 7 to 14 days. And yeah, it's all go in the next few weeks. It'll be some great racing for all the punters to see.
Beautiful.
All right. Thanks very much, Chris. Good luck today.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Chris Waller joining us on Racing HQ. All right, we're going to run through the scratchings now, and then we'll get into the Sydney preview with Ron and Ray, and Gerald Middleton will be along from TAB as well. So we'll run you through Rose Hill, Flemington, Sunshine Coast, Morphettville, Kembla Grange, and also Queanbeyan in that order. So Rose Hill to start things off, good for surface, well in the true position, and the weather is fine. Scratchings is race 3, so races 1 and 2 clear. The third race, 5 choice we had, number 5. Race 4, 12, Kind of Tangy, number 12. Race 5, 3, Pipeline, 4, Henry the Creative, goes round at Kembla, 3 and 4. Race 6 is clear. The 7th, 2 Gold Ambition, won yesterday. 9, Harper's Choice, 2 and 9 out of race 7. Race 8, 6 Hour Renaissance, 10 Qtronic, 6 and 10. Race 9, number 11, Awoke. Race 9, number 11. So that's Rose Hill this afternoon. Let's have a look at the scratchings now for Flemington this afternoon, with a good surface for racing there at Flemington today as well. They've got a good four. The rail's out 6 metres, Fine Skies. Now, scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, 9 Olivia's Gold, 11 Braemar, 9 and 11. Race 3, 1 Legless Verve, 3 Redouble, 1 and 3 out of the third. Fourth, 4 Zardon, 8 Von Classic Hero, 4 and 8. Race 5 is clear. The sixth, 4 RTD2, and 17, Ribbon of Choice, 4 and 17. Race 7, 5 Grain, 11 Sunday Escape, 5 and 11. Race 8 is clear. The 9th, 6 Dodging Bullets, 8 Deliberate, and 12 Star Zone, 6, 8 and 12 out of race 9. That's Flemington this afternoon. Now we move to Queensland and to the Sunshine Coast. It is Sunshine Coast Cup Day this afternoon. Big fields up there at the sunny coast. Good fall surface. And the rail's out 3 metres the entire course. And, well, the odd shower forecast this afternoon. Scratchings, race 1, clear. Race 2, 14, Perilous Love, 14. The 3rd, 5, Ladude, 7, Our Catch, 9, The Perpetrator, 5, 7 and 9. Out of race 4, 6, Real Princess, number 6. Race 5, it's 6, St Hilary, 7, Gracefully Chic, 10, Dapper 1, 12, Dan Sue, 6, 7, 10 and 12. In race 6, 8, War Baby, number 8. Race 7, it's 11, Mert the Flirt, number 11. Race 8, 3, Aldini, as well as the emergencies of 17, 18 and 19. 3, 17, 18 and 19 at the Sunshine Coast this afternoon.